working. Last week we decided that we were going to be, or we were in Matthew chapter 24, and we looked at it a little bit, and we saw some of the things that the world wants us to think were signs of the world coming to an end, or signs that this is how we know that Christ is coming back. But we knew from our study and our very close look at everything, and our close examination, that these were just warning signs to the disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem. We will continue in Matthew chapter 24 again today, and this afternoon we'll be in Matthew chapter 25. Let's get into Matthew 24 real quick. But we saw that everything up to a certain point in Matthew 24 was none other than the pointing towards that. And if we recall, there's a distinct notion or way of wording that Christ uses that tells us the difference. But before we get into the scriptures, I want us to imagine a scenario. A man owns a piece of land, and by the end of this year, this man expects that the bank is going to write him a nice hefty check. Now, here's the twist or the caveat. The man decides that he doesn't want to work the field. He doesn't want to plant any seeds. He doesn't want to till the land. He doesn't want to take care of the cattle that may be on this land. As we know, what happens at the end of the year? Well, this man, he looks at his bank account and he wonders, there's nothing there. Well, why not? Well, because he didn't prepare himself. The same thing could be said that if we were to look at sporting events, you're not going to be the best athlete unless you train your body for it. You're not going to be the best academically unless you train your mind for it. Unless we prepare ourselves, we will not be ready. You cannot simply stick a pan in the oven, as much as us guys would really want to, and expect a cake to pop out. We have to prepare everything beforehand. And that is the truth when it comes to our salvation. Now, if we look at John 14:3, before we get into Matthew, John 14:3. I know today we're having a little trouble finding verses today, aren't we? John 14:3. And it says, and this is Christ speaking, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that you know that where I am, there you may also be. Christ has gone to prepare us a place. Likewise, we also need to be prepared to receive that place. We need to prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ to be accepting of that. So we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 24. Now this part that we're going to look at a little bit is going to deal with Noah. So we're going to take a look at Noah's case and see what's going on there first, just to refresh our memory as to what's going on back then. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at just a couple verses here. Genesis chapter 6. If you got your hand in Matthew, you might as well keep it there. So we will be back. Oops. So in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him in his heart. We see that during this time of Noah's time, that there was a lot of bad things going on. People were very wicked. They were turning themselves away from God, and they wanted nothing to do with him. Drop down to verses 13 and 17. And it starts and reads, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of the waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven and everything that is in the earth, shall die. So God's given Noah instructions. Instructions to avoid the destruction that's coming. In the same manner, he does the same thing for us. Let's go back and read verse 22 here. And it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God has commanded him, did he. So everything that God has commanded Noah to do, everything to help him get out of that destruction, he's done it. So keep that in mind. Likewise, we're going to see the same thing being written. We've seen this in Hebrews 11:7. So let's go there real quick. Just reassuring and refreshing our memories here. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to be saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So again, this is a reminder that God had a plan. He was going to destroy the entire world with the water. But at this time, he said, okay, here's the instructions. This is what I want you to do to get out of it. Now, if Noah had made that ark any different than God had said, it wouldn't have worked. We know this. But according to the scriptures, Noah did exactly everything God said, and thus him and his family was saved. And so does God have a plan for us today? Is there going to be destruction like there was in the time of Noah? Now, we know if you continue reading in Genesis, you're going to see that God made the promise that he would never flood the world again. And that sign is the rainbow. So that we can remember that every single time. But no, he has promised, and we looked at this last week, and we've looked at it plenty of times, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, that the world is going to be consumed by fire. That is destruction that's going to happen this time. Has God given us a plan to get out of that destruction? And the answer is yes. And we'll look at that as we look at it every single week at the end of the lesson. So let's get into Matthew chapter 24. And what we're going to see is we're going to see the dangers of not being prepared. Let's look at it. Let's get into verse 3. I'm going to remind us here of what the disciples had asked. Verse 3 of chapter 24, it says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming? And of the end of the world. Now remember, they've asked three questions, but Christ has taken it as two different questions. He's lumped the first two as to be the same question, and that's a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem. And now, when we get into verse 36, we're going to see different wording so that we know he is talking about the other question. So what we're going to do is we're going to start in verse 36. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. There's going to be a come a time a day that the world's going to end. And nobody knows it. None of us, save God alone. Verses 37 through 39 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. They were doing things normal. They were still marrying, they were still eating, drinking, whatever it may be. They were still living life. They were being taught by Noah, but perhaps they thought he was a crazy man. Whatever the reason may be, they ignored him. Oh, there's never been any flooding before. There's never been any rain. We've never heard of this. It's not going to happen. The same can be said, we've never seen the entire earth consumed by fire, yet God said it's going to happen. God said it was going to happen, that the flood was coming. It came. We should think of the same way when it comes to the fire. He says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Let's continue here. And what did Noah do? What did Noah focus on? Did Noah focus on worrying about the rain or the flood or anything of that sort? No. Noah focused on teaching the word, teaching God teaching God's message to the people, trying to save them. And he also focused on doing God's will by building that ark. Sure, it might have been in the back of his mind. We don't know. But what we see in the scripture is the evidence that he did God's will. He didn't worry about anything else. That should tell us a lot about ourselves. We shouldn't focus so much as when is that day? It's do God's word today. Do his work today. Don't worry about what day it is that it's coming back. Worry about doing today's work. Lost my place. So the people had a chance to look to God, and yet they did not. They did not turn away from their ways. They did not repent of their sins that they were doing. They chose to ignore him. Did God look at the people and say, oh, they weren't listening to me this time, I'm just going to give them a little more time? Yes, perhaps he did, but he set a specific date. Whomever was ready on that day, he saved them. Those that were in the ark were saved. But what happened to those that just ignored him? They were swept up in that water. They were killed, every single one of them. When the angels come and gather us all together, are we going to look at them and say, I'm sorry, my favorite episode on Netflix is on. Give me about 30 minutes. I don't think that's going to happen. You ain't going to have time to do that. The words probably won't even be out of your mouth before you say that. We have to be ready at all times, ready for that fiery day. Verses 40 and 41 are kind of a debatable couple verses. A lot of people want to say that this is the rapture, but we're going to keep it in context. We're going to read it and see what it's referring to. So verses 40 and 41, it says, then shall there be two in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. So what we see here is Christ giving us an example that at any time, it doesn't matter what you're doing, I'm coming. You could be busy at work. I'm taking you right then. You could be busy driving your car. You could be busy sleeping at home. It doesn't matter. When I'm coming back, I'm coming back. That's the point we're seeing in this. It doesn't matter. Verse 42, if we were to keep it in context, we can see here. It says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. That's, if we keep it in context, we're seeing that he's referring to just ready, no matter what we're doing. Whether we're working, sleeping, wherever we're doing, always be ready, always be prepared for Christ to come back. Because we do not know when he's coming back. In verse 43, let's read that. It says, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, but would have not suffered his house to be broken up. If a thief would come up to you right now, if a man would come up or a woman would come up and say, tonight is the night I'm coming to rob your house. First of all, I've never heard of a thief that would say that, but if a thief would tell you this, what would you do? You would bolt down your doors, you'd bolt down your windows, make sure everything's locked, lock your car, whatever it may be. But we don't. Some of us that live in more safer areas, maybe we don't lock our doors all the time, or maybe we don't, but those that live in the towns, I know when I was living in town, I always locked my door. You lock your car whenever you're not around it. Why? Because you never know if today's the day that thief is coming to steal from you. You never know if today's the day they decide, well, I'm going to go out and pick on that person, or I'm going to break into their home and cause problems. You're always prepared for that. In the same manner, we should be doing the same for Christ. We should always lock our doors, lock our windows, prevent the sin from us. We should be walking away from that, always, not waiting until the last minute. Christ could come back tonight, tomorrow, 5 years from the road, we don't know. It's not a big deal. He comes back, we should be ready for him at all times. Like the thief, Christ isn't just going to come up and say, okay guys, tomorrow's the day, I want you all to be good today. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to be an instant, and it'll be over. So look at verse 44. It says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man come. Again, if we're keeping all that in context, it's just showing that he's going to come whenever. Doesn't matter what we're doing. He's coming. He's taking us. So like the people in Noah's time, they never saw the rain. They never saw the flooding. Therefore, they got it in their mind that it's just never going to happen. There's no way it could possibly happen if it's never happened before. And we can fall in the same thinking as this. And that's just the devil's snare on us. Thinking, oh, we've never seen the world destroyed. Oh, God would never really do that. He's such a loving God. He wouldn't bring destruction. But he said he would. And he's not a God of lies. But let's read verses 45 through 51. It says, "But who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Again, that's us. If we're doing what God's wanting us to do and he comes back and sees us still doing what we're supposed to be doing, he's going to be pleased with us. Verse 47, "Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, that he shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There's going to be times when people that have become faithful, they're going to be like, well, Christ hasn't come back today. He hasn't come back in a long time. I'm going to fall back to some of my old ways, or maybe I'm going to do some worse things, whatever the case may be. And they're going to start hurting people. They're going to start doing things wrong. And that's when you least expect it. That's when Christ is going to come back. Or it may be when you lose your life, whichever. We never know. We should always be prepared. Do not get it in our mindset that just because he hasn't come today doesn't mean he's not coming tomorrow or the next day or so on. And you've seen in that very last verse there, this is a repeated phrase in most of the parables, and it's a very scary thought. It says, "But there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." For the person that chooses not to obey, that just slacks off for a day or two, their ending result is this. And we know that phrase to mean that they are going to hell. And that is scary. That is a terrible thought, but it's the truth. We must remain vigilant. Putting off our preparation or not preparing at all are both dangerous behaviors. Simply going through the motions of coming to services, but then not really making the changes in our lives, it's not really doing anything. Kind of got me to thinking as I was putting this together is the thought of the lukewarm. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3. The idea of just being the Christian, but not really doing anything with it. Neither hot nor cold. You know, this is handled as well. So Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, it says, "Unto the angel of the Lord of the Laodiceans, write these things with amen. And the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creations of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Christ is saying to us that we need to be something. We need to be something other than just a bench warmer. We need to be active. We need to be excited. We need to always be vigilant, always working at being better, being servants of his. Do we sit at home and think, today is the day I'm going to serve the Lord? When you wake up in the morning, is that the first thing on your mind? Or is it, well, I'm just going to take a break today and tomorrow I'll put on Christ. How's that? It's not going to work. You have to have Christ on you 24/7. You never know. That moment you take it off is the moment you could come back. You may think in your mind, you've done it before. I've taken it off before and you didn't come back then. so I can just do it again. You know, that's kind of our way our minds work. We start, we dibble a little bit, and then it comes a little more, and more and more, and it builds itself up. We need to be careful that we don't get into that situation. One of the songs I enjoy listening when we sing is the "Why Do We Wait" song. One of the lyrics on the very end of it, if you wanted to look at it, I didn't put the number down. The lyrics in the fourth line was something along the lines of, "There's danger and death in delaying." Something very fitting for this lesson. It's if we delay, if we wait around, Christ's going to come back, and we're not going to be prepared. Having done no preparation will result in death. The weeping and the gnashing of the teeth. We need to think at every single moment of our life, is the choices that I make, are they pleasing to God or are they not? If I do this, will this bring me closer to heaven? Will this bring somebody else closer to heaven? Or push it away, pull them away, or pull myself away? Like the plan to save Noah and any that would heed the call, God has a plan even for us today. So God told Noah his plan. Said, do this, and do this, because I'm going to bring destruction. He had certain steps he had to follow. And God has the same ones for us. Now, we don't have to build an ark today, thankfully. I don't know how to build a boat. I don't know how to work with that myself, but thankfully we don't have to do it that way. But first of all, like Noah, we had to listen to God. We had to hear what he said. He didn't just... Okay, God, hi, how's it going? Nice to talk to you again. Hope to hear from you again soon. He took his time and he listened to him. He took down the details as to exactly what God wanted from him. And as we saw, he did them. Those weren't just simple, okay, throw them together an ark and call it good. He had very specific dimensions that he had to follow. We also need to listen. A typical running joke, and I know we kind of joke about this sometimes ourselves, is men, we get something or buy something. I know Christmas coming up. You're going to have some kind of kit to put together. The idea is usually men like to throw the instructions out. But what happens, guys, when we do that? Usually there's a couple bolts laying around extra, right? Well, that's just because that's what the manufacturer put in there, right? No, it's because we forgot something. We forgot a step. Didn't do something right. God's plan is the same way. If we forgot a step, we didn't have the same finished product that we're supposed to. If we miss any steps of God's plan, we don't have God's plan. We have our own. And it isn't the right one to get us to heaven. So first of all, we do have to listen to God. And listening to him, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We can't grow our faith unless we listen to him. We have to pay attention. Like Noah did in building that ark. We must believe that his instructions are true and complete to get us to heaven. Noah never saw rain, never saw flooding, but he believed God to be true, believed God that never would lie to him. We have to have that same belief. God said there's going to be destruction. We need to believe him. He said it. It's true. He's never lied before. We have no reason to doubt him. Mark 16:15-16 says, those that believe will be baptized, and those that don't will be damned. We see it throughout the whole entire scripture that if we do not follow God's plan, weeping and gnashing the teeth is where we're going. It's not a pretty picture. It is not one that we should be excited about. Should be excited about, how do I get to heaven? That's where our excitement is. One of the things that God commands us all, Luke 17:30, commands us all to repent. He wanted everybody to get in that ark, but they chose not to listen to him. Today, he commands us to repent, change our ways. It's our choice whether we do it or not, but that's what he expects from us to get to heaven. And then we are expected to confess Christ as a son of God. Not just, oh yeah, I know Christ. Oh yeah, I know he's my friend. I love him. Let's confess that he has the right to tell us what to do, that his word means something. We find that in Matthew 10, Verse 32-33, that because we confess him properly, he's going to confess us before God. I know so-and-so. Yes, of course, God, let him in. Let her in. They are a faithful steward of mine. Or the flip can be said. You've seen that verse that if we don't, I know you're not. Be gone from me. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, let's go there. If you haven't closed your Bible already. 1 Peter. It's another verse that goes hand in hand with the flooding in Noah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited until the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism does now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like them, we must be saved by that water. We must be baptized. Notice very closely that it wasn't the vessel that saved them. The verse does not say that. It says the water saved them. That ought to tell us that there is importance. When God tells us to be baptized, that water is important. It's not just washing away our bodily filth. We can do that at home in our showers. This is washing away the spiritual filth. If there's anyone here that's not obeyed God's plan, down to the letter. Or if you're willing to obey the plan, now's the time to come forward as we stand and sing this next song.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say.